Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verses 15 through 26. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. "Flee for your lives. Don't look back, and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "No, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in the sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me, and I'll die. Look here in a town near enough to run to. Look here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is a very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." He said to him, "Very well, I will grant you this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it." That is why the town was called Zoar. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Vanessa. Vanessa is also our lay leader for the church. Vanessa has been our lay leader for, I think, a couple of years now. So she helps us with all kinds of vision things and hospitality and, you know, lay leader is one of those interesting positions where we generally kind of meet with you and go, okay, what are your gifts? What are you excited about? And so we're thankful that Vanessa's found her spot. Thankful for her husband, Teddy, who preaches occasionally, which I really appreciate. Appreciate both of them. Well, today I want to talk about the challenge of not living with regret in life. Not living a regretful life. Most of us could probably share some stories today, couldn't we, about regret. We all have those spots we can kind of point to in our lives. Decisions that we made, things that occurred where our lives became different because of the decision that we made in our moment. So the book of Genesis in the Bible is one story after another of these kind of pivotal moments in the lives of people. And it is the story, Genesis is a story about the beginning of earth and tribes and civilizations. It is the story of God and his people, the people originally known as the Hebrew people. The beginning of Genesis is even has a story about God's regret. Did you know that God had regret? Right before the flood story, chapter 6, verse 7 of Genesis, it says, "The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled." God was troubled. So here we have one of the first examples of God displaying strong feelings. And these strong feelings lead to drastic decisions. God regretted his decision to create humanity. He felt deeply troubled by this past choice because of what humanity became. Haven't we all been there? Haven't we all been here? Haven't we all made decisions that we would later deeply regret and secretly wish that maybe we could do over? But we don't get those kind of do-overs, do we? We don't have that ability to go back in time to fix those different things. And so the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is very similar to the flood story. Interestingly enough, right? They're very similar. In both, God is grieved by the behavior that he sees, so he acts on his grief and his outrage. With the flood, Noah and his family is allowed to escape God's wrath upon the floodwaters themselves. They escape God's wrath. With Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his family are allowed to escape the fires from above. The fires that rain down. The flames and the sulfur and the heat. God had actually warned Abraham that the fires were coming. Because Abraham honored God with his whole life and who he was, and he worshiped God. Abraham didn't live in those cities as nephew Lot did. So God sent two angels into Sodom to bring Lot and his family out safely. As the angels escorted Lot's family out, an angel warned them. The angel said to them, look, you must flee the city. And as you flee the city, whatever you do, don't look back. Just go. But on the way out of the city, Lot's wife looked back. And the story says she turned into a pillar of salt because she looked back. Now, other versions of the Bible, we read the NIV, right? The International Version. It says that God, other versions say that God turned her into a pillar of salt. And it lets us make the assumptions that this was because of her disobedience. If only she had not looked back. The Bible doesn't even give us her name. She's only known throughout history as Lot's wife, who looked back. We also don't know why she looked back. I mean, maybe it was because she had friends and loved ones back in Sodom, and she was looking back in grief, remembering those friends that were now lost. Maybe it was the destruction, the flames, the heat, the thumping sounds. The story doesn't say it. It doesn't tell us why exactly she went back. Like Lot's wife, don't we all have our reasons for looking back? You know what's interesting? Why did Lot's wife look back, but Lot didn't look back? Why didn't he look back? And as it turns out, I think we all know this, some of us are just more prone in life to do just that. Some are just more prone. We look back at the past all the time. Some people just don't, you know? Some people are always looking back at what's behind them. After all, maybe you've got a lot of destruction in your past. You've got destruction back there. You've got some hurt. You've got some rejection. You've got some failures. You made some mistakes. You think about those and ruminate about those things all the time. But you know, the opposite can be true too, right? Like, maybe you look back and you're like, you know, back in the day I had so many successes and so many wins, and that was the glory days back then. Those were the happiest days back then. But they're all behind me now. It's all behind me. Friends, I don't know what's back there for you, but I want to encourage you to start looking forward. Start looking forward. Look forward to your life. The life that's in front of you. I mean, you're just missing out on the precious time that you have left on this beautiful planet, aren't you? And so I want to help you be fully alive, fully present, fully ready for every future-facing moment. So please consider, I've got three challenges, three steps that you might take in life to kind of shift. If you've been kind of stuck in this back-facing, that you might become forward-facing, future-facing in your life. The first challenge is this. Respect what is happening on the inside. Respect that. Looking forward to life and being fully present doesn't mean that you ignore what happened to you in the past. Actually, take steps to address those hurts, those feelings, those fears, those hardships. And some of you may feel stuck in the past when you're actually stuck in the emotion from the past. Something happened in your life and you thought I'll be able to just keep going after this. Time will just heal this. I'll just forget. Until you didn't. You didn't forget. And now you feel stuck in that emotion, in that place, unable to move ahead in your life, to look forward to your life. And this is also true for the individual who lives the opposite way, right? Because some people, with the pain, they get stuck and they can't go. Some people, because of the pain, the thing, they like go, right? Go all the time. Like just don't ever stop. Because if you stop, then all the thoughts and the feelings, those things all flood in. The unresolved things from the past. And so if you struggle to rest, if you struggle to stop, and you struggle to create space, then I could be talking to you this morning. In order to be fully present in the moment and to look forward to the future, we must learn to honor what's inside of us. We have to honor those things and those feelings. We have to honor the struggles and the hurts and the feelings that are still inside of you from the past. And it may be something great that is in the past. Maybe it's not hurt for you. Maybe it was something that was great. Maybe it was the job that you loved and you don't have anymore, or a loved one that's not with you today. Or a home that you loved, or a place where you resided, or it was this amazing season of life that you were in. And so, what a blessing. What a blessing that you knew that individual and loved that individual, that you had that special place, that you had that season, that you had that job. What a blessing now to have had that. Friends, it is natural. It is natural to miss and to grieve and to have those sad feelings. And those sad feelings are good reminders. They're good reminders. They remind you that you were and are especially blessed. God's favor is on you. Remember the words of the angel Gabriel. He came to Mary before her pregnancy, the mother of Jesus, before the birth narrative in the Gospel of Luke. And in Luke, the angel Gabriel said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." The mother of the Christ child, the one who would see the blessing of the birth and witness the curse of his death, who would be there for both of those things, who would remember both of those things till her dying day. Blessed and favored are you, Lord. And blessed and favored are you, who have blessings in your past, because today you are still blessed by those things. And so respect and honor those memories and those feelings so you can take the next step, hopefully, towards being fully present and looking forward in your life. And that is to be thankful for the person you have become as a result of your past. Be thankful for the person you've become because of the result of your past. Friends, this one little statement, that one little statement is really, I think, at the core of our attitude in life. This is an attitude change. Are you thankful for the life that has happened to you, both the good and the bad? Because maybe you survived some pretty horrible stuff. And you haven't told me, maybe you haven't told anybody some of the horrible stuff you survived. And so I say, good for you. You're a survivor. Look at you. Look at you. You're a survivor. Look at all that you've overcome with God's help. The fact that you're here this morning, that you're here today. You know, a couple of years ago, I remember having a very honest conversation with a mentor friend of mine in Columbia, Missouri. He had been a good pastor friend. We had helped one another actually through some difficult times, some church things that happened for both of us just about the same time. And one day we were together, and we were talking, and we were reflecting on some of those tragedies that we had experienced and where we were in that moment. And I looked at my friend, my mentor. I said to him, "You know what? When I was a young man, or I should say when I was a younger man, was a younger man, I thought being a successful pastor would mean that you know, churches were always going to be growing. We were going to be seeing new ministries get started and blossom and do great things. And we would see the masses come into faith and being baptized and coming into the church. I never thought for a minute that being successful in some seasons of life as a pastor would just come down to surviving. Just surviving some hardships. Just making the next day. Never in my wildest dreams did I imagine that would be the case. Church, in some seasons, surviving is a success. Surviving is a success. There are some seasons in our marriage where if we can just survive that season, it was a success. There are some seasons at work where if you can survive some of the hardships at work, surviving at work, that's a success. If you've lost a loved one, you're the survivor. And you're surviving. Your ongoing surviving is a success. Your kids moving on to school, what my wife and I kind of dealt with yesterday, you know, dropping kids off. You know, several of you in here have done the same. Surviving that. Surviving to go another day is the win. You are both the losses and the wins that you have experienced in life. And even though none of us enjoy losses, like, yay, it's another loss, it's those losses that tend to shape us most profoundly. If we let them. If we let them do their good and painful work. So be thankful for who you have become as a result of both those wins and losses. You know, when the Israelites, when they had been defeated by the Babylonians, that was the southern kingdom was destroyed by Babylon, the northern kingdom was destroyed by Assyria. The survivors of the Babylonian were exiled, Babylonian exile and captivity, and so it took almost all the Jewish folks out of Jerusalem, out of Israel, just left a handful. And so for 70 years, 70, for 70 years they lived as captives apart from their native land until their oppressors became oppressed themselves. Another warring kingdom came and destroyed Babylon. And after 70 years, the surviving Israelites were allowed to leave in order to go home and to rebuild Jerusalem, to rebuild Israel. And in that day, there was a prophet amongst the people of Israel. His name was Jeremiah. And God gave Jeremiah a word for his people. And the word is this: "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." The Jewish people would look back on their heritage, they'd look back on their past, and they'd look back on it with pride and thankfulness because they knew they were survivors. You too should look back on your life and be thankful for the person that you are today. Just a quick look, right? Just a quick glance, and be thankful for who you've become today. Be thankful that the Lord loves you, that the Lord has journeyed with you throughout your life to get you to where you are today. He has not forsaken you. He has not abandoned you. The Lord has good plans for you. So be thankful for your journey. Be thankful for your journey. It's so hard. Don't compare your journey to other people's journey. I do it too. I do it too, right? Don't be jealous of their journey versus your journey. Don't be envious of their journey. Instead, be thankful for all the ways you have been changed. After all, if you can do this, then you can do the last step. You can do the last step. And the last step is this: choose joy today because of your faith, God, and life. Choose joy today. Church, I'm going to share with you something today that has, I think, the power to deeply transform your life, to profoundly change your life. Friends, I'm giving this away for free today. Are you listening? Are you with me? Here we go. joy is not just a feeling. It's a practice. I'm going to say that again in case people in the back couldn't hear me. Joy is not just a feeling. It's a practice. Can you say that with me so I know that you heard me? Joy is not just a feeling. It's a practice. That is worth $1 million, my friends. It's a practice. It's a day-to-day decision to look forward to your life. And there's going to be seasons when your practice of joy is going to lead you into the attitude of joy. But if you do not make the decision to be about the practice, then you may struggle to ever again find the attitude. You may struggle. Friends, I can personally share with you today that there have been seasons in my life where I had lost the attitude of joy. It was gone. I was no longer looking forward in my life. I was stuck in some hurt and some sadness, and it caused me to look back, just like Lot's wife, and thank God God didn't turn me into a pile of salt, because I was stuck. I was back facing, and I was stuck back facing. I felt like a pile of salt, even if I had been turned into one. And I began to turn away from people who loved me, people who cared about me. I desired isolation. I wanted isolation. Because even when I was around other people, I felt alone. That's a horrible feeling, isn't it? When you can be around a room full of people and feel alone. And in those moments, I devalued my past achievements. I devalued the positive impact I made ministry upon other people's lives. I devalued any gifts that I had that I once thought I had for ministry. And I eventually had to make a decision, because I did not ever just feel better. I didn't just get to, when you know, all time heals all things. I just was not feeling better. And I would just have to decide to live better than I felt. Did you hear me? I decided to live better than I felt. I'd have to choose to be with people and to be a part of what was happening, even though I didn't want to be around people. I didn't want to be around what was happening. I'd have to believe differently than I felt about myself, about other people, about everything. I would have to believe and think and live more joyfully, and so I did. I did. And then guess what? For me, I'm sorry, it might not be for you, but I think this is pretty good. For me, the feelings finally caught up with me. Once I started living that life as opposed to waiting for that life to catch up with me. Philippians 4:4 says this. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Here's Paul preaching, right? I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Church, joy is the action because of your faith and your belief in God. It's your action. It's your practice. And that's why you come each week, and you come and you worship, and you sing, and you pray, and you give it your financial gifts, and you listen to preaching that's meant to inspire and encourage and help your heart and to help heal and help move forward. And some Sundays, you may not feel it. You may wake up in the morning and you may say, Lord, if I got to go there, shake somebody's hand, smile at them like it's all okay, I'm just going to explode. I don't know if I can do it, right? But we do. We do it. We come in and we worship and we do it. Because a joyful life, joyful worship, it's just how we live as people. It's how we live as people who are fully present in this moment, looking forward to the future. Future facing. Church, life is too short to get this one wrong. Just not enough time. Isn't it sad? Have you thrown years away? Like, I felt that way. Have you thrown years away and you just felt like you got it wrong? You did get it wrong. You threw them away. And yet, I got news for you. The only thing you can do is you got to just let that go. Do those years away, let it go, right? And the best thing you can do is to honor that season of your life. You're going to honor it now. You're going to respect that season of your life because guess what? It took that season to get you to where you are now. To sit here and make the decision tomorrow, today, something's going to be different. You're just a little more stubborn than everybody else, right? So you need that season. You're going to respect that season. You're going to honor that season. And you're going to be thankful for who you are today. And you're going to choose joy because that's the faithful response of a follower of Jesus Christ. We're going to be forward facing. This life that God has given you, it is a gift. It is a gift. I have the privilege of being your shepherd pastor. Right? Marcia and I get to be shepherd pastors for you all. And so I would ask this. Will you look forward with me? Will you look forward with me? Can we do this together? Can we agree to do this together? Let's not lose another minute of time that any of us have been blessed with. So I don't know where you're at in this looking back thing and being stuck in that. But remember these three steps. Remember to respect what is happening on the inside. Remember to be thankful for who you have become as a result of those things in your past. And choose joy today because of your faith, because of God, because of your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray for hearts. There are hearts in our sanctuary, and they need to be healed, and they're here because they need to be healed. And Lord, you're just good to honor all those parts of us that we struggle with. And there are days when we don't know if we should come inside, Lord, if you knew all the parts of us, and yet you know. You know, and this is the place where you make us whole despite our past, but because of your best efforts. And so, Lord, would you help heal our hearts? Would you help direct your people? Any of us today that we're stuck kind of rear-facing, we're looking back, and we're struggling to move forward. Holy Spirit, would you lay your hands upon our heart, our mind, and soul, and free us, that today we might make the decision to walk out of this place and to look forward to life, because it is a rich blessing. It's in your son's name we pray.